You're listening to DottoTech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
Hello and welcome to DottoTech. I'm Steve Dotto and I am glad you are joining us today. Art Factora, sir, how the heck are you?
I am doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. This is kind of the last open show we have before the Yuletide hits us, because next week we're going to be starting our App of the Year rundowns.
Ooh.
Yeah, we're gonna have some fun with the App of the Year rundown. So this is kind of our... Today's show is going to be kind of like sitting on Santa Claus's knee, trying to decide what it is you want for Christmas.
As an adult or as a child?
Both.
Okay.
Don't you do it still?
Well, I don't call him Santa anymore. Never mind. I'll just move on. It's a family show.
Yeah, we're going to be joined by Jillian Shaw, and we're going to be joined by Julian Saunders, and we're going to be chatting about different Christmas-related stuff. And I want you to be a part of the entire conversation today, because I know you're a big Christmas guy.
Yeah, well, I love shopping. I'll tell you.
You do love shopping. And you were emailing me all through the week saying how great your app was from last App Thursday, because you've been texting. What it's called, Talk To?
Yeah, go to DottoTech.com for the link, because it's not easy to find. It's called Talk To.
Yeah, and don't listen to the show, though, because...
Because the reason why I was using it at 2 o'clock in the morning was because I was texting the Targets around town.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking for a specific gift for my girlfriend, but I want a color, a certain color. And the store...
What's the gift?
In Richmond. I can't tell you.
Oh, because she might listen.
She's a fan of you.
She doesn't listen to the show.
Well, she could. Or someone who she loves could listen.
Okay, good.
I don't want to get out.
All fair.
So, yeah, I was looking for the specific gift I was looking for, but in a certain color. And I went to Lansdowne Mall at the new Target, and they didn't have it. So, and it took me 15 minutes just to find someone who will try and answer my question of if they have one in the back.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a hassle. And then I asked them to call other stores to see if they have. And after one call and waiting for about 20 minutes for that person to find the number, I was like, I give up. So I got a rain check. So I'm good till January 2nd. If they don't come in, at least I know that I will be able to get one for sure. But then at 2 o'clock in the morning, I was sitting in bed realizing, why don't I just text all of the Targets around the city to find out if any of them have, and I'll drive out to go grab
mm-hmm,
it.
Mm-hmm.
And so 2 o'clock in the morning, I text each and every Target, and the Talk To app allows me to do that. And all the Targets open at 8 o'clock every morning. By 8:15 of the next morning, three or four out of the five that I texted all replied back to me saying they don't have the color. But imagine that. Like, you don't have to call anymore and wait on hold for 20 minutes while somebody says, I got to go find the person. And then somebody picks up, says, sorry, what are you looking for again? And then they put you back on
hold.
Well,
it's so hard for the people that are on the floor. I have to find out who it is that's texting you back from these, who set it up. Because you're saying most major stores...
I've gotten responses to everything that I've texted.
So you sent
London Drugs,
Walmart,
and Target. And yeah, I don't know.
Places that you hesitate phoning, because it's just so hard for their floor staff to deal with things because they've got customers, especially getting close to Christmas.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, and imagine back in the day when all those, the Teddy Ruxpins and
the Furbies.
Oh, yeah,
I remember last Christmas, the Furby. I was calling around trying to find a Furby.
Yeah.
I almost said another F word for the Furby.
and that
stupid
could,
Furby.
One store could easily take you 20 minutes. It's terrible.
Yeah, and so now it's all just text-based.
Yeah, well, maybe it comes as an email to their info, but yeah, they respond to these texts.
That's excellent. So I imagine that's going to be one of the ones that you're going to be promoting for the App of the Year.
Well, it won me a Rome Mobility prize pack, so it
should.
So
awesome. Yeah, yeah. We're still working on what the prizes are going to be, but we're going to be getting viewers or listeners, because we don't really have viewers, do we? Listeners to vote for the App of the Year. So we're going to have 2 weeks of rundowns. So next week we're going to have the semifinals followed by the finals the week before Christmas. And then over the Christmas break, we are going to have online voting for App of the Year. And a lucky listener will also win a nice prize pack, as well as the App of the Year purveyor.
Wow. So are we, as the people who... discover these apps, are we allowed to use our social media?
You're encouraged to. There's
okay.
There's no such thing as cheating on this.
All right.
Other than you can't, you could bribe.
What about stuffing the boxes? We
can't. You could try and stuff the boxes, but I'll have technology in place. You won't be able to usurp my technology. Huh. But bribery, I encourage.
Bribery. Okay.
Speaking of bribery, I was driving in today, and I went through the first Christmas roadblock that I've seen.
For drinking?
No.
It was the afternoon.
It was for seatbelts.
Oh.
And here's what blows me away. They were pulling people over. There was people driving modern vehicles without wearing their seatbelt.
In December, on some of the coldest days we've had so far.
Well, it doesn't matter whether it's cold or not. It's just like, what are people, do you know anybody that gets in a car and doesn't put on a seatbelt? Do you know one person?
Nobody under the age of 70. The people who there was no seatbelts when they first started driving.
Yeah, I can't understand it. And it's not like it was in a place where you just hopped in your car and you're just playing. This was like on a main thoroughfare. You're driving somewhere. You are in transit. You aren't moving your car. Like, I would maybe not put on my seatbelt if I was backing my car out of my parking spot onto the street because we had to clear up a parking spot. I might consider not doing it then. But even then, I probably just by habit would do it. Ah, just unbelievable.
Well, that's why they have the Darwin Awards every year. Yes. It's survival of the fittest.
Yes, yes. Well, I was a little put off by that particular notion. So we're going to
You're saying wear your seatbelts, don't drink and drive.
Yeah.
Let's have a safe holiday season.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm volunteering for Operation Rudolph this year.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's not Christmas. That's New Year's. But yeah, kind of looking forward to that. That should be
just
fun.
Driving home drunks in the
Yeah, that's so much fun. At least I think you get to use their car. Yeah, you use their car with this one.
You drive their car home.
Yeah, so if they're puking, they're puking in their own car. Nice. And I don't really care.
I get you
home, I roll you out, and I
drop the keys off and someone picks you up.
Somebody, you know, spray a little Febreze over myself and head on to the next one.
You are a modern day Mother Teresa.
I am not a modern day Mother Teresa. So we're gonna be talking do you have lots of tech ideas around Christmas in that Art Factor and Noggin of yours?
I've got a few.
Things that you want. So we're just gonna be noodling about the whole concept of what a tech Christmas is gonna look like this particular year. I'm thinking Xbox One, and PlayStation 4 is gonna figure prominently, but tablets should figure prominently as well. I think. So let's do that. Let's take a break and let's get Jillian Shaw and let's get Julian Saunders queued up so that we can talk Christmas here today on Dottotech.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. You're listening to Dottotech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
It would not be Christmas time on Dottotech if we did not bring on Jillian Shaw from the Vancouver Sun. How are you doing, Jillian?
I'm great, Steve.
That's good to hear. Now, Jillian, before we start talking tech and all of the different things that we might think that is going to represent a tech Christmas, I want to talk to you about something that's really, I know, close to your heart every year, especially at this time, and that is your Adopt-a-School program that the Vancouver Sun is the benefactor? Yeah, the benefactor for. So fill us in on the program again.
Well, this is a program that, Steve, we started just a little over 2 years ago. We're going into our third campaign. And as you may remember, we have the Vancouver Sun Children's Fund as a charity that we've been sort of our in-house charity that our company, our newspaper, has been running for as long as the newspaper has been around, about 100 years, under various names. And a couple of years ago, an inner-city school teacher, Carrie Gelson, wrote us an email, and she told us about the reality of life for kids in her class. And Steve, the things she was talking about were kids coming to school hungry, kids coming to school without boots and coats, kids coming to school covered with bed bug bites. And what struck us, Steve, and it certainly struck our readers, is this isn't some very far away place. This is happening blocks from where we live and where we work. So it motivated us, and it certainly motivated our readers, who were very generous in coming forth with donations of everything from money to coats and things like London Drugs launched a toy drive. Grouse Mountain has had kids had kids from inner city schools go up on snowshoe trips. So we've had the entire community has kind of opened their hearts to kids in need in our community.
You've said it two or three times already. It's Vancouver's not a city that I think of that has quote unquote inner city schools, but that is a misconception on my part, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, statistically, we're, this province has among the most impoverished or the highest percentage of impoverished kids. And we meet, you know, we meet these kids, we meet the kids through their teachers and principals. And, you know, while some people might say, well, it's all the parents' fault, I can tell you, Steve, that we meet a lot of very hardworking parents who through, you know, they're either new immigrants or working minimum wage jobs or kind of the working poor or moms who are single moms, all kinds of people that are struggling to raise their kids. And it's not only in Vancouver. We see this all around the province, but certainly in Greater Vancouver, in Richmond, surprisingly. A place that you would think would not have pockets of kids going to school hungry. In fact, they do.
Now, and you say that people blame the parents, but it, regardless of whether or not the parents, even if they were partially at fault, still the kids are the ones that are suffering, and they're the ones you're trying to help out.
Exactly. And that's our take on it at the newspaper, our Adopt-a-School team here. We don't make any judgments, and we're there to help the kids. And our feeling is, too, these are upcoming generations. And if you have generations of kids who are going to school hungry, they're not going to be learning.
They are not going to learn. Exactly. Yeah.
These are the next generations that are going to be looking after when you and I are, you know, not doing what we do anymore, Steve. But these are the next generations going to be looking after us. So
we want them to be smart and talented.
Exactly.
So Christmas is obviously a big time for giving. It's when we often start to think about opening our hearts and opening our wallets. What can people do, and what are you guys focusing on in this Christmas season?
Well, what we find, what people really, I think, has drawn people to the Vancouver Sun Children's Fund and an Adopt-a-School initiative is the fact that they really welcome the chance to help in their own backyard. So I have people call me up, Steve, who say, I went to school at, they'll name a certain school, and they hear that there are now children there who aren't getting enough to eat, and they'll say, we'd like to contribute money to feed those children. So as the charity, that's what we do. We will make sure that their money, and we have no administration fee, so 100%. If you give us $100 to feed kids, $100 will go to feed kids. And that is how it operates. We have right now a fellow, an alumni of an elementary school in Coquitlam came forward, and he now lives in Montreal. He's a banker living in Montreal, gathered a bunch of alumni around and said, we want to help because we found that there are kids in need in the school that we used to go to. So they've kind of all gathered together, and collectively, with everyone pitching in a little bit, they're able to feed the hungry kids at the school where they used to study.
Wow. And are you allowing people, it's kind of unusual to ask it, I guess, but are you allowing people to actually designate what school their contributions are going to what you know, kind of what small community that they're going to be going
absolutely.
To?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Steve. And so we have people and we have companies that will take on and adopt a school. Say, TELUS has taken on an inner city school, Strathcona Elementary, and it's not just writing a check, Steve. These employees, TELUS employees, go and help. They've done things like hosted Christmas parties for the kids. They'll go and read in the after school programs. So there's a lot of, when we talk about adopting a school, it's not just kind of sitting back and handing over your credit card or writing a check. A lot of our donors actually go to these schools, and they become, it's the community helping. We are neighbors helping neighbors.
Now, so when this is a time when we think about it, but this is just the tip of the iceberg as far as what you're looking for as far as the public support. If you're thinking about, you know, right, obviously, if you're going to write a check, great. I'm sure you're going to say thank you very much. But yeah. More importantly, you're hoping that people are going to write a check and say, now, what can I do through the year to be involved so that come March and April, you're still engaged with that school, still helping out, still doing something to help those kids.
Well, exactly, because, I mean, we all participate in Christmas hampers and trying to make Christmas for kids who otherwise wouldn't have that, but kids are still hungry in January, and kids are still going to school with holes in their shoes in January, and at Adopt a School, we want to be there. We want to be there in January and throughout the rest of the year. And so do our donors. So we're finding, and we also find that connection. Once you have a connection with a school, sometimes you can help in a lot of ways. I mean, you may know about, for instance, London Drugs, when they heard what we were doing and they learned that one of the programs we were supporting was Teen Mums, they said, we have, you know, we can help with toys for these teen moms. So every Christmas, these moms have, they have gifts to wrap up for their children that they otherwise wouldn't have.
Got it. So where do people go to get more information? Where do people go to start giving?
You can find us at vansunkidsfund.ca. So that's just vansun, V-A-N-S-U-N-K-I-D-S. FUND, vansunkidsfund.ca. You can search for us on, you can find us on Facebook, also Vansun Kids Fund, and we're on Twitter, but our website, vansunkidsfund.ca, gives information on how to donate, how to get involved, and how to help out. And we're always looking for help because this is a bunch of journalists that are at our newspaper. We do this kind of off the side of our desk. But we have volunteers in the community who help us out, and we really appreciate it. It means a lot to us, and it makes it possible to do what we do.
Well, thank you very much for the energy that you folks put into it. I know I've heard stories already from those schools, and you guys are making a difference. It's 3 years into it now. It's a nice, mature program, and I'm sure you're getting an awful lot out of it, but you're certainly giving more back to it. So thanks so much for that, Jillian. We appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Steve, for the opportunity to chat about it.
Good. Now, are you going to stick around? Because I want to talk about what we can find under our Christmas trees as far as a digital Christmas is concerned this year.
It is going to be a digital Christmas. As you know, for me, it always is digital Christmas.
Every day is a digital Christmas for Jillian Shaw. So stick around. We're gonna bring Julian Saunders on so I can do the tongue twister Jillian, and we'll chat about Christmas. Okay?
Okay, Steve.
Good. We're going to take a quick break and return with more of Dottotech in just a few seconds.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Do you have a comment or question for Dottotech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
It's time for us to do a bit of a Christmas spectacular, talking about what gifts we would like to see under the tree or in our stockings. So we've kind of got a round table going on. We've got, of course, Art Factora lurking in the weeds. We have Jillian Shaw from the Vancouver Sun still online with us. And joining us now, Julian Saunders from beautiful downtown Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. And this was the first time that we could safely get Julian on the show after the Grey Cup because he's sobered up as of yesterday.
It's been a party in Ryderville, I tell you.
A party in Ryderville. The rest of the country just smiles and shakes our head and says it's about time. It's about time. And it's awesome that it happened at home. Now, you were at the game, were you not, Julian?
No, I myself wasn't. No, I was stuck in the store of all places celebrating.
Are you serious?
Yeah, somebody's got to mind the shop.
Was anybody shopping on Grey Cup Sunday?
Only a couple.
Yeah, what would be the point? They must, and they probably weren't native Saskatchewanites, I'm guessing.
I think people were kind of taking advantage of the slow stores. We had a couple of people come in with a big list of questions, and they had all of our attention.
Oh, that must have just driven you crazy. And everybody's hanging around the audiovisual department.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, it was a great place to watch the game, though, with about 50 feet long of TVs. It was pretty big sight.
Yes, indeed. And every break went the Riders' way, as when there was that play in the first quarter where he got hit, the ball popped straight up in the air, and the running back caught it and then went for like 35 more yards. I thought, okay, that's their day. That was it.
Yeah.
I didn't even have to watch anymore. Are you a big football fan, Jillian?
I have been for the last.
No, duh, Julian. Jillian, let's pay attention.
You know what? I just have to tell Julian that I had a great uncle who was once the captain of the Hamilton Tiger Cats. So, you know, while I appreciate his joy.
You were pulling for the Tiger Cats?
I have to say that the game didn't end as, you know, my great uncle was now gone, would have liked.
Who was your great uncle, Jillian?
That was many, many years ago, but I did find his name on the Grey Cup.
What was his name?
When it was... His last name was Denman.
Oh, okay.
Denman. And so he and he was captain of the Hamilton Tiger Cats way back in the day.
Okay. Well, we're not here to talk football today. Let's talk Christmas, and let's start with stocking stuffers. The thing, I don't know about the traditions in your households, but we always open the stockings first. So let's talk about small little tech toys for the stocking. So Julian, what is going to be hot this summer for the stockings? Or this Christmas, I mean, Christmas.
A couple of people have been coming in asking for a little bit better Wi-Fi at home. And one of the ones that I think is a neat little stocking stuffer for people is an Ethernet over power line kit.
Yes.
It's kind of a out of the ordinary stocking stuffer maybe, but if you have a dead zone in your house, or maybe you have a game console or a different bedroom upstairs and you don't quite get enough signal to it to get your smart TV or your streaming set-top box going, they're two little plugs. You leave one by your router where your internet connection starts, and then you just plug one in by the TV, and it uses your home's power system to give you a wired internet jack. So
now that is a brilliant stocking stuffer. How much do they cost?
There's starting from D-Link at $69.99, mm-hmm. and starting with Linksys as well from $79.99.
And so so we make sure that we have the entire structure in. So your Ethernet, your router, you hardwire your router into one of the jacks that's plugged into the wall.
Right. Yeah. It starts it off. So that lights up your whole system. Your whole house's power line. So it's your regular power plugs, where you can plug anything in, and then you need another little box where you want to receive it.
Yes, and then at the other end, and then it's an Ethernet cable into whatever device you're using for streaming. So you'd actually plug the Ethernet cable into your Apple TV or into your smart TV, correct?
Right, yeah. You can even use it for your computer if you want to, if you need to have a more stable connection for Skype calls, that kind of thing.
So many people have dead spots. Jillian, you live in a mansion. Do you have dead spots in your house?
No, I live in a very old house that has walls that were never meant to have wireless signals to go through them. So this is something that I hope to find that in my Christmas stocking this year, because we certainly have dead zones.
Yes, and some people just, in all construction, there are just the places that the Wi-Fi signal does not seem to reach, and I think that these power line kits are a great idea. So there's you've got a winner there, Julian. So what's next?
Well, there's a new mouse on the market from Microsoft. It's called the Sculpt Ergonomic Mouse, and it's $50, and it lets you really comfortably relax your wrist. You don't have to turn it flat. You can keep it on a natural angle. So for anybody getting all gibbled up on their laptops, trackpads, it's a beautiful, it's called a Blue Track Laser, and it's a beautiful experience when you're looking for kind of an upgraded mouse.
I hardly, I only use a mouse on my desktop. I never use it on a notebook anymore. Jillian, do you use one?
I don't. You know, I'm on my notebook right now, and I don't. I do use it on a desktop, though. So that's true. And I have, you know, kind of wrecked my arms and wrists and shoulders by bad computing ergonomics, so I think it's always a good idea to have an ergonomic mouse.
I've had a lot of RSI, and this is a strange-looking mouse, Julian. I'm looking at it. It's a bizarre-looking thing.
It is, yeah, but it's a fully ergonomic. I used one almost exclusively on my laptop for about a week, and I found that I was a lot faster. Mm. I didn't really realize how slow I was using the trackpad on my laptop, so it made my wrist very relaxed.
But you're a Windows user.
I use both, but I was testing it on a Windows computer.
Yeah, because the thing about the trackpad on the iOS on the Apple operating system is, you know, the gestures make it an awful lot more convenient. And one thing I find, like when I am on my desktop computer, and I am mostly what I do now is video editing on my desktop computer. So Microsoft's Magic Mouse is pretty important for that, because you can use gestures on top of it. So I wonder how it would work from that perspective.
Well, I used it a lot for Photoshop on my Windows computer, and mm-hmm. then I switched over to a MacBook Pro and used it for a lot of word processing, and it was extremely comfortable.
Yeah,
I was also using the whole ergonomic desktop kit, which is available. Microsoft has relaunched their ergonomic keyboard, And it's a beautiful upgrade. I don't know where the magic is, but it feels like your hands are exactly where they want to be. You don't have to flatten your thumbs out, and it has a really nice new shape to it that makes it very easy to pick up. You don't have to get used to it at all. You just after a couple of seconds, I was a lot faster typing on it.
When you talk about a split keyboard, it's got more than a split keyboard. Jillian, are you looking this thing up online like I am? It's like a hockey player missing a tooth in the middle. It's got this big gap in the middle of this keyboard.
Well, yeah, maybe it's just more comfortable. I working on my laptop computer, I know that's not the best thing at all. You know, my physio loves it, but
lots of repeat business. Yeah. Okay. So those are two good stocking stuffers. I like those ideas. So we've got the. So what's up next then, Julian?
Well, a lot of computers don't come with a CD or DVD drive these days, and
for good reason. Nobody needs one.
For sure, yeah. But there's the odd time when you want to stick in a movie, mm-hmm. and just because you've got all this high tech stuff and flash drives and streaming. It doesn't mean that you don't want to, you might get a wedding video or maybe share some pictures or burn a music CD. So a little Buffalo portable DVD drive for $40 really helps. It comes in handy, especially every house just needs one to share, especially if you want to stick in a movie and watch it on your computer.
Yeah.
It's one of those missing pieces that a lot of people are picking up these days as a gift. It's one of those pain points, you know. You think you don't need it. We're convinced we don't need it because we listen to everybody in the industry. And then, you know, every once in a while, it's one of those things that comes in very, very handy.
Good stuff. Oh, Art's just jumping on. What do you want?
I like that.
Buffalo drive?
Well, because my MacBook, I thought I had to trade like Thunder cords or whatever for an extra power for a DVD player. So for $40, I can carry that with me. I'm going to the Philippines, I've been saying that for months, and it's a 13-hour plane ride.
Oh, okay. So this will give you the ability to watch movies. Well, you could have just downloaded the movies, though.
Well, I don't break the law, Steve.
Well, I didn't mean that. Oh, yes, okay. You're right. You don't break the law. Well said, Mr. Factora. Good stuff. Okay, now Julian, what's we got time for one more? What's the killer, the must have stocking stuffer?
Oh, the stocking stuffer that I actually found it in Whistler when London Drugs had their tech trade show there. This is the coolest thing. They're called the Chatter Mitts. And now it's cold out. Everybody's going to need a pair of these. What is so great about them? Is when you're wearing the chatter mitts and your phone rings, you just hold, we're on radio, so I can't show you this, but you know how you hold, you pretend you're talking on the phone with your one finger out and your thumb acting like the headset?
Yeah.
Well, just imagine your hands are in a pair of gloves and that's how you answer your phone.
Shut up.
No. Really?
Really?
I know. Can you believe it?
And so you actually talk like you're miming talking.
Talk.
Like
you
it's
call
me.
You talk to the hand. You talk to the hand, Steve. Now, how cool is that?
That is why I'm just looking it up right now online. That's why I've seen pictures. One of the guests on our show fairly regularly is Rebecca Coleman, and she has a picture of her doing that, and I kept wondering why she's got this photo of her with her hands like call me, and it's because they're chatter mitts.
I took the photo, I think.
Is that your photo?
Rebecca and I were playing around with them up at Whistler, and they are an awesome stocking stuffer.
Indeed. Now, Julian, are they in stock, or are they going to run out of stock because they're so popular?
Well, we've got quite a good quantity on hand right now. They're $50. They're available in two sizes, small, medium, and medium large, and they work with any Bluetooth cell phone or computer.
Your thumb is the speaker, and your little finger is the microphone. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, and I've been playing around with them, testing them, and the voice control on Android and iPhone work with them too. So you can actually Siri with your pinky.
No way.
I'm just waiting for a chance to be riding the lift up at Whistler, and my phone rings, and I'm going to talk to the hand.
Well, I'm going to be calling Cedric at London Drugs because I think these chatter mitts have to be one of the prizes for our App of the Year winners because that is the coolest thing I've heard of in a long time.
Isn't it?
Who makes them?
They're made by Logic.
Oh, they're Logic. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And they're very warm, too. That's the other thing. In Saskatchewan, we're minus 30 with the wind right now, and my fingers weren't getting cold at all wearing them. They're quite good for not being thin little gloves. They're really warm.
Okay. Are the gloves rechargeable?
They are, yeah. They have a micro USB charger. So they come with a cord, you plug it into a USB power adapter.
Where's the battery?
The battery's in the mitt that has the speaker, because it's only on the left hand that you've...
On the left hand?
Yeah.
I want it on the right hand, though. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Well, you could wear it a little backwards if you wanted to.
No, it's silly.
They're designed for righties, but it's you know, you're just holding your hand up to your head. So, yeah,
there we go. Okay, so, and you can do Siri with it. So it's iOS compliant. Chatter.
Yeah.
It's Chattermits.
Chattermits, it's all one word. If you search for it online, Google it online, use only one word, Chattermits. And I like the picture they use because the guy on the London Drugs website kind of looks like a international spy. He's got the trench coat on, and he could be Get Smart.
That is, I got to say, whoever thought of that, I got to give some props to. It's not very often that I see a product that I, because when you guys were talking mitts, I'm thinking those silly mitts that allow you to, like, you know, use your screen and you know, the translucent, allow you to touch screen while you still have your gloves on. So that is way cool. Okay, let's take a break, and when we return, we're going to be talking about bigger gifts than ones that will fit in a stocking. I'm Steve Dotto, and you're tuned to Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Do you have a comment or question for Dotto Tech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dotto Tech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
We are trying to open your eyes to opportunities to give great digital gifts this particular Christmas. So we have Art Factor, of course, in studio with me. Jillian Shaw and Julian Saunders have joined me. Jillian, of course, the Vancouver Sun's technology writer. And Julian is our go-to guy from London Drugs, who still is suffering from a Grey Cup hangover. So, Jillian, have you done your Christmas gift list yet for the Sun?
The Sun. No, I have. In fact, it's an ongoing project for me, because I no sooner get one list written, Steve, than I find like 10 more cool must-have gifts. So I have done a Christmas shopping list, but mm-hmm. I'll be doing more. In fact, one of the things we're going to be looking forward to or coming up is going to be a really good look at cameras.
Oh.
Coming up. That is going to be coming up in an upcoming column. And then just other things that I think, you know, have helped me in my Christmas shopping list, and I hope would help others.
Good, good, good. Now, is there anything that has jumped out at you that's other than the Chattermits that is just like off the charts?
Well, for off the charts, you know, if you're buying for a family, one of the new game consoles has to be off the charts. That's not a stocking stuffer for sure, but I have had years, Steve, where that was the family present was a game mm-hmm. console, and of course now, after waiting around and not having any new ones for so long, we have two this year.
Well, let's jump into game consoles then right now, because we've got PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, which drives me crazy. Microsoft has to be the lamest company at naming products on the face of the earth. Why they go back to Xbox One after we've had... Now, I guess it's because it's an all-in-one. It does everything, but... Julian, what are they thinking?
Well, it's more because it's the center of your living room. They're trying to get everything into one box to control your entire entertainment world. So the Xbox One is... one of its unique features is that it has a video in, not just an output to your TV. So you actually take your high-definition cable box or other, media player, and you put it through your Xbox One. So when you're using the Xbox, you can just say Xbox Live TV, and it switches you over to your cable box for you.
And that is one of the most compelling aspects of the Xbox, of the new Xbox, is the fact that it does truly, I think more than any other product that I can think of that we have available to us right now, it truly can become your entire digital media hub in your living room.
That's right, yeah. And it also has, because it's bundled with the new generation of Kinect, it can also be a really great way to use Skype. It's actually the best Skype experience I've seen in a long time, because you can zoom and pan using the controller or with your voice. You can actually sit back and then tell the Kinect to zoom in on you and still have a nice video quality. So you don't have to always have the same issue where you're sitting too far back and your head's really small and they can't really see you.
Yeah.
So it makes the whole using Skype and voice over IP a lot nicer.
So for the first time, I think, in history, we can look at a game console that can be bought and put in a household and never play a game on it and still get tremendous value out of it. Right, Jillian?
Well, that's it. I mean, Microsoft is billing this as the all-in-one entertainment system, as Julian says, and you can, you know, I've demoed it and played around with the Xbox One, and you can do an awful lot before you even turn on a game. I mean, I thought it was fascinating, Steve, that when you can walk into your living room and it'll recognize that it's you. It'll say, oh, Steve's here, and the screen that will flash up will be the one tailored with all your favorites or with all, you know, with all your web stuff, your Skype. And then you walk out of the room and, you know, your kid walks in and then it'll say, oh, somebody else. So very, very kind of cool living room technology.
Cool and creepy at the same time.
And creepy.
Now, so it of course is going head to head with Sony's PlayStation 4, which is still get out there promoting it as all about gaming. And do you sense that there's somebody ahead in that game right now, Julian?
Well, the PlayStation has some very good exclusive titles for gamers. They're really making some people happy with that. That's one of the things they didn't do quite right in a lot of people's minds with the PlayStation 3 launch, is not having enough games. But a few of the titles that are right from PlayStation and a couple that are from independent developers that aren't on the Xbox One are really making people foaming at the mouth for the PS4. The raw gaming experience is not only beautiful with next generation graphics, but there's also some really nice titles to play with that you can't find anywhere else.
So do you get a sense that that's how it's going to break down? Is that kind of almost a flip of what when we saw the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360? Is that the serious gamers are now gravitating maybe a little bit more towards Sony's product?
I think a little bit, especially with the public relations side of Microsoft having to make up ground for the not being able to play used games and other things that they solved with the Xbox One's actual launch. But mm-hmm. before they came up with it, a lot of people were scared that you had to be online all the time with the Xbox One, and that's still a big fight for Microsoft, with Sony poking fun at them with the famous YouTube video of just sticking a used game in and pushing play. So we'll see, because the Xbox crowd is also very loyal to Microsoft. So
yeah.
It's kind of a 50-50 split right now. But if you're coming in saying, hey, I'm a serious gamer, I need a new console, the PS4 is still, when you can find one, still one of the best choices for exclusive titles right now.
What staggers me, Jillian, is the price of these units. They are so expensive.
Yes, $400 and $500. And basically, if you buy the camera accessory for the PlayStation 4, it's the same price as the Xbox One. And, of course, Julian can talk more about this, but it's not backwards compatible for the games. So for people who invested a lot in their game console system, Julian might be able to put the figures to it, but I can imagine that it's not a cheap proposition.
So you're going to have to reinvest in titles that you already had.
Right, and there's also cause for having both the last generation and the new generation consoles around, because you can play all the old games on them. So the solution that I've played around with a little bit is plugging in a PlayStation 3 to an Xbox One. So then I use my PlayStation 3 games. When I want to, I say Xbox TV, and it switches to the PlayStation 3 instead. And it actually works quite well, because there's a lot of people that were expecting clearance pricing on the old consoles, but they've relaunched them in a more affordable bundle. 12 gig PlayStation 3 for $250, and a 4 gig Xbox Kinect for about $250 on sale for about $200. So you can still use the last generation of consoles, and you can save a bit of money too. So anybody looking to shop on a budget, there's nothing wrong with buying the PlayStation 3 or the Xbox 360 bundles because they're backwards compatible with all the other games. Then when you're ready for the next gen, you'll have both. You'll have easy access.
And if you go with PlayStation, if you go with the Xbox, you can just piggyback the other system. Although, don't let Microsoft catch you piggybacking that Sony PlayStation into it. Now, do you have just a single input for video into the PlayStation, into the Xbox? Like, do you have to, could you, is it like your, would it, is it either or your set-top box or your game system?
Yeah, there's only one input, so you only okay. have one thing to choose.
Okay, got it. So, okay, so game stations, now if you had to choose one, what are you going to pick, Jillian?
You know, gaming station, I think maybe the PlayStation 4. I got to say, it is a little bit trending ahead, and it's got, you know, some cool things in its games. The latest research, although I'm not quite in that demographic, but I have to say, the among males age, is 18 to 29. The PlayStation 4 is winning over more. 13% say they're going to buy a PlayStation 4, and 3% say they're going to buy the Xbox One.
I wonder what it is in the baby boomer category.
Well, overall, Steve, it's 6% say they're going to buy, overall among Canadians, 6% are planning to buy a PlayStation 4, 4% are planning to buy the Xbox One. So okay. they're running very, very close. But, you know, when it comes to game consoles, I figure that, you know, that demographic, the young guys, age 18 to 29, they know their game consoles. So,
yeah. It's hard to go against them. So you're going with that. Art, which one would you get if you were buying one?
I haven't been a gamer for a while, but I guess I would have to go with the Xbox. It just seems to be just a half step above.
I like the living room integration of the Xbox. That's one that I would choose. And I also really would like to play around with Kinect. I think that camera option would be just awesome.
I'm a sucker for marketing, too.
Yeah. And Julian, what about you?
I'm still a big fan of the Xbox One. The Kinect still has me won over every time.
Got it. Okay, so that is the console game story, which I know is going to be absolutely huge this Christmas. Let's spend some time and let's talk about tablets and e-readers and what's happening in that space, because I imagine a lot of people, especially, they're going to look at that combination gift where they're buying it for a kid and they're saying, I'm going to give them something that has education, that's good for them as well as they want. So the tablet war. Now, on Black Friday, you guys had a heck of a price on the iPad Mini, didn't you, Julian?
We did, yeah. We really, it was unadvertised. It was in-store only, but it really, the word spread quickly, and it really, really sold like crazy. The first generation iPad Mini for the lowest price it's ever been.
Yeah, it was quite the bargain. So what do you see? What do you see breaking out as far as being popular? I imagine it's going to be the Nexus is in the iPad are going to be kind of going head to head.
They are, yeah. There's a lot of people actually in the Samsung camp that have surprised me. The Samsung Tab 3 7-inch for $200 regular price is outselling the Nexus 7 right now, just because it's a little bit cheaper and it has a micro SD card slot, so the expandability is there too for being able to load up movies and other stuff on a little card. So, a lot of people like that.
So help me out, that's actually the older version of the tablet, right?
No, that's the current generation Samsung, the Tab 3 for $200.
Okay.
That guy's selling like crazy this year. The Tab 8 and the Tab 10 are sometimes harder to keep in stock than the Nexus, too. It's kind of impressive how well those the more expensive 8-inch and 10-inch Samsung tablets sell.
And what do you sense as far as the Apple world with the iPad Mini, with the new iPad Mini Retina?
Well, the iPad Mini Retina is hard to get your hands on. It's kind of like the new game consoles. There's less of them than the demand right now. But the Retina display, for anybody looking to do a lot of reading books, is so impressive, especially on the 7-inch screen. It's the perfect size. Now, the iPad Air, though, it's the first iPad I've been able to use with just one hand. I don't know. Have you guys used an iPad Air?
I haven't even touched one yet.
Well,
I shouldn't admit that.
I'm still on an older generation iPad, but, you know, I don't think I'd be buying a 10-inch tablet anymore. That's the thing.
Yeah? Why not, Jillian?
Well, you know, it's just not convenient. I had to go out and buy a purse to fit it, especially, Stephen. Even then, you know, there's never room for a 10-inch tablet in your bag. And I think that, you know, Jillian might know more about this when they're flying out the door, but I think I'm going to be with the people who are moving to the 7-inch ones.
Well, I do like the 7-inch form factor. I mean, I don't think you lose that much as far as readability, really, but you do gain a lot as far as portability. Now, I don't know about you, but I use my tablet. It never travels with me. It just it's kind of beside the bed, beside the on the couch type web browsing that I use it for in the house. I don't really take it on the road with me much.
And see, that's where the 10-inch tablet really kicks in nice, is when you're trying to replace a laptop or use it more,
yeah,
you know, surfing on the couch. Then the 10-inch is perfect. I also like how you can type nicely on a 10-inch screen, because that little bit more width. The 7-inch I've never really been able to type except for with my thumbs, like on my phone,
yeah,
which is good for short little messages and things. But that, Jillian's got a great point. The 7-inch is by far the more portable. It's just a matter of what you want to do with it and where you think you're going to use it. That's actually why tablets are selling more than laptops, according to the industry, because they are used in so many places. People buy two. They buy a big one and a little one, one for on the road and one for at home.
Well, here's the question then. Are these 7-inch tablets encroaching in the e-reader space, and are they going to impact the Kobos and the Sony readers and those sort in the Kindles?
Well, they have, because they have a backlit LED screen that you can't compete with e-ink. That's the other one.
So the battery life you can't compete with. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And the e-ink display, especially with things like the newer Kobo Glow, you can read in the dark with a little bit of a backlight, kind of like a watch has a indigo light.
Yeah.
It's very nice on your eyes. So people that are really voracious readers, they're still buying e-readers just for the one purpose. You're not seeing a lot of the e-readers trying to be tablets anymore. But then there's more casual readers like myself that I actually like having all the books on my tablet, because they're on my phone, my tablet, my computer. You know, it doesn't matter which device I have. So it really depends how much you read and where you do your reading.
What do you read on, Jillian?
Well, I was a holdout. I was like Julian. I was reading on my tablet. I was reading on my iPad, and I liked that I could have the book on, if, you know, just pull out my phone and it would all be there. But I did break down, and, well, I didn't break down. I actually got a birthday present. I got a Kobo, the Kobo Aura, which is a great little e-reader. And the thing I like about this, and the difference between that and reading on my iPad, besides it's smaller and lighter, although that's not as big an issue for me, you know, sitting with it propped up on my knees reading in bed at night or something. But I find, and this is actually the case, if you're reading on a computer screen or on the iPad screen, it is going to be more disruptive to your sleep. And for somebody who works at a computer all day and sits at a screen all day, I like to kind of shut it off because I'll stay awake half the night anyway.
Yeah.
So reading on an e-reader is something that I've switched to, basically just to get a better night's sleep.
Now, I agree with you. I find that the that if I'm looking at my iPad before I go to sleep at night, it interrupts my sleep. But I found that the way that I've broken down my reading between tablet and e-reader is I do most of my technical reading, like PDF documents that are from the industry. I do that on the tablet because it's kind of work-related. But my pleasure reading, I really prefer reading on one of the e-book readers. I think that they've done just a tremendous job. They're just comfortable. You know, they feel the backs of them are textured. It's just more of a pleasure reading experience.
Yes, same for me.
And what's the price points of the e-readers right now, Julian?
They started around $100, depending on sales. You can get a Kobo for starting at $99, and there's also a lot of Android tablets that you can get for around $80, the ProScan 7-inch tablet that we've talked about on previous shows, Steve. That guy, if you're looking for an LED screen, is great if you want the affordable, you know, use for multi-purpose, for apps, for kids. And you can go up to about $200. So it's not like tablets where you see a variety of prices from $80 to $800. More affordable. They're a lot less expensive.
Got it. Well, Julian and Jillian, I think we've run out of time. You guys have talked us through a great digital Christmas. I know that the chatter mitts are going to be on my list. I think that they're the one true go-to thing that we've looked at today. But I need to thank you both. So Julian, anybody that's interested in any of your stuff, dropping in at London Drugs is the place. And Jillian, checking you out at the VancouverSun.com. And, of course, the one quick reminder, the VanSunKidsFund.ca to help give back to all of our inner-city kids is in the school programs is just awesome. So both of you, thanks so much. Jillian, thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks, and Steve.
Jillian, thank you, sir.
Thanks, Steve.
We're going to take a quick break, and we will come back, and Art and I will wrap things up. Well, that got me in the Christmas spirit, Art.
Yeah, well, it's December now, and it's freezing outside.
And yeah, and I'm thinking about what I want.
I think we all know what you want. Everyone in your inner circle should all pitch in that $50 and get
you know what?
That,
with my kids all in school, that's about what they can afford between all of them.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, for gifts for Dad. Yeah. So the chatter mitts. I think I'm just going to go buy see if I can get a gross of them. Is that 13? 13 pairs? Then just give them to everybody.
That would be great. I think that, unfortunately, I think it would be even better if they were able to have like a fake antenna that came out of the thumb.
Oh, no, you could hit yourself in the eye with that.
Yeah, but at least it looks like you're on a spy phone.
The bizarreness of seeing somebody walking down the street talking like that. Can you imagine? Yeah, until it kind of becomes part of the
just like the Google Glass, right? With Beeler, people wondering why he looks like a cyborg.
Beeler with his Google Glass and his chatter mitts is just going to be a freak on display. Be going around. We went out with him that after last week's show. We went out with him and he was in the bar with them on, and it was not the bar. We went to Original Joe's. I guess it's a bar.
Yeah.
And we had wings he was wearing his Google Glass and
all the servers asking questions.
People looking out. Hathaway, me, and Beeler. I don't think people thought that we were like coming back from the volleyball tournament.
Look at those geeks.
Nerds on parade. It absolutely was. So next week on the show, we are going to be looking forward to this. We are going to start our playdowns for App of the Year. So tune in for that, and keep your eye on the website at dottotech.com, because we will be putting up a chance for you to vote and chance for you to win prizes, as well as decide what the App of the Year is, so we don't hear Art Factora whining about my arbitrary decisions.
I'm not the only one whining. I get messages all the time, people telling me that I got...
I have never seen a message. I have never seen anybody complain, other than you.
Okay.
You've got to forward those messages to me, Mr. Factor.
I'm not the one. I'm not that kind of guy.
Well, you've got to do that. You whine on the air, so you got to back it up with some data. That's I'm just asking for some hard data. And with that, I need to thank our guests, Jillian Shaw and Julian Saunders. I'm Steve Dotto on behalf of Art Factora. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week right here on Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.